Thanks, Stephen. And thanks, Young Crew, for leading so well and all the thought you've put into it. It's really lovely. Okay. They told me I was allowed to have 15 minutes to talk. And I asked them, I asked the young people what they'd like me to talk about. And they said, could you tell us what Jesus says about changing the world in 15 minutes? So, to start with, I'd just like each of us to think, if you had a wish, one wish to make the world better, what would you wish for that would change the world? There's a lot of things to choose from, because when we look around in our world, there's a lot of things that could do with some changing. And the talk I gave a couple months ago looked at a whole lot of different ways that Christians have wrestled with how do we respond to a world that might need changing. And as I said at the time, not all Christians think we need to change the world. And those that do and those that don't find words of Jesus to support them. But I am someone who thinks Jesus does hope we would change the world. Jesus changed the world, and Jesus told us to follow him. But what Jesus changed was more a new way of seeing and being than a global improvement plan. And what Jesus lived and said was love one another. If there's a global improvement plan, that's it. Jesus changed the world, but you wouldn't have known it in the first couple of hundred years after he lived. We can say that now, looking back 2,000 years, we live in a world profoundly changed by Jesus, but probably anyone who actually knew him alive didn't see that. And Jesus lived in a time and a place when the world was not the world the way we know the world. Our concept of a global community sharing one fragile ecological system is a very modern understanding of the world. Jesus' world wasn't much bigger than the Middle East. Probably was a network of communities and people living in Palestine. And through his followers, we've got the words of how that extended into the Roman Empire. We know at the same time it went into Asia and Africa. We don't really have those stories. But what was going to change that world, the world that was known to those people, might well apply in our globalised context. But you can't just cut and paste across time. We need to think, reinterpret, hold our context and the words of Jesus together. So what did Jesus say about changing the world? Jesus said with both his words and his actions. Sometimes he said really direct things which make you uncomfortable if you read them. Make me uncomfortable, they might make you uncomfortable. They make me uncomfortable, some of the direct things Jesus says. And sometimes, more often, he talks in stories and illustrations and parables. And in lots of ways, his life is the greatest parable of what he said. His living as a servant amongst outcasts, dying and transforming death into new life. This is what Jesus says about changing the world. So how do we hear that in a world when this is the beautiful world we live in and yet we know it's in trouble? So to prepare for today, I didn't read a whole lot of commentators. I read the four Gospels and thought I'd just summarise what I found, what I think Jesus says in the four Gospels that might be relevant as we think about changing the world. So whatever it was at the start that you wished for, you would wish for, hold that as you listen to the words of Jesus. For lots of us, this will be things we've heard lots of times. Hold your hope for a better world and hear what the Gospels have us remembering Jesus as saying. And listen to what tugs at you. Where is the corner of the problem that you're being called to do something about today or to be different about today? So here we go, four Gospels in 10 minutes. You are to be salt and light, agents of change that make things taste better, last longer, and be seen more clearly. Blessed are the ones that our culture sees as losers, the poor, the weak, the oppressed. You are to put them first, always. You are to welcome them, not as them, but as us. You are to serve with compassion the people who have the greatest needs. Aim to make a difference to the people at the margins, not to your friends. Money is problematic. It's as likely to weigh you down as help you. Life goals serve you better and God better if they're about striving to follow Jesus. Jesus was a homeless itinerant preacher with no possessions. Where you set your compass is where your life will end up. And whether that's the love of God or the security of wealth, that's where you'll end up, but they're not often, sometimes, but not often in the same direction. Repent. I feel I need to say that in the microphone. It's not a word we use very often, but it is soaked through our four Gospels. Repent and call others to repent. Which, as I'm thinking about how we change the world for me, is about pay attention to the way I am contributing to whatever it is the problem, actively or passively. How do I contribute? How do you contribute to the things that are wrong in the world? And make changes ourselves first before preaching about them to others. And know that God rejoices to welcome us back onto the path every time, over and over and over. Don't judge others. Love them. Even your enemies, especially your enemies. Especially the people who are stuffing up our world. And forgive. Forgive over and over and over. Forgive because you know, I know, that I also contribute to the problems of the world. And you have been welcomed into God's arms anyway. And God is enabling me, you, us, to make the world better because we are people who have been forgiven. Rules are meant to help people. When they stop helping people, they can be broken in the service of love. A transformative new way can't just be tacked onto an old system. Both of them will fall apart. Jesus' love way tips everything else on its head, and some things can't get put back in the box. That's okay. Let them go. It won't be easy. People will hate you. Even your friends and your family will come into conflict with you if you try and change the world. When conflict comes, try and resolve it by involving the fewest number of people, quietly and in love. Don't be afraid. God's already got this. The way of love is already underway, and you are already part of it. Transformation happens quietly, secretly, in hiding. It comes from tiny, tiny beginnings, like yeast in bread, or like the seeds of weeds that blow on the wind, and next thing you know, you've got an invasion of weeds. That's how the transformation of God's love is working. The things that are last now, the things that never seem to get anywhere, these will be first. The people who get left behind now will one day be leading. I think I need to interrupt and say, I'm not telling you this because I know how to do this. This is what I think's in there. And definitely not because I'm any good at it. Resist the temptation to make God prove God's self. I think this speaks to me particularly. I feel like it's only worth doing if I get some feedback that says, yeah, God's doing something. Share, give. There will be enough for everyone. And ground yourself in Jesus. Be soaked in the love and teachings of Jesus until you are dripping with it. Eat and drink Jesus. Tune yourself to Jesus' voice. Allow the light of Jesus to shine in you and out of you to light everything else up. To light up everything you do and to be the light that lights up all the choices you make about how we live in this global, terrifying, beautiful, complex world. Pay attention. Watch for signs of hope. Signs of the inbreaking of love. Signs of the presence of God. Stay in the light. You can't lead anyone or change anything if you're fumbling around blindly in the darkness. Even if you have all the leadership confidence in the world, all the qualifications, all the experience, you are still blind if you're not lit up with the light of love. And let others encounter that light and love of Jesus in you. And don't be afraid to tell them that Jesus is the light for you. Teach them the way of love. Mostly teach them by doing it, by living it out. And the way of Jesus is the way of mercy and compassion and humble service. This is true greatness. This is the true path to change. Power and control are not Jesus' ways. Suffering, brokenness, loss and death. This is the unlikely place where transformation comes. And I think we have seen that in the last 2 weeks when the terrible events of Christchurch that when you just read it should be, they say, this is New Zealand's darkest day. And yet, this is the place where love and transformation has poured out in a way we haven't seen, that I can't remember seeing in my lifetime. Suffering, brokenness, loss and death are where the transformation comes. Don't just listen to ideas. Do something. Don't just hear Jesus say, love one another. Get on with loving one another. If you've been shown the way, you're expected to take it. These are some of the uncomfortable things I find Jesus saying quite directly, unfortunately. It'd be nice if that one was a bit bent around, but it's not. And as someone very wisely said to me once, even Jesus didn't heal all the lepers in Palestine. You don't need to do everything. You don't need to help everyone, and you don't need to save the world. Because you is a plural word. Changing the world is something we do together. Even a tiny bit of faith, a tiny bit of belief, hope, can change the world, can cause movement when problems are looming like mountains. Even if it's the very last hour and you feel there's really not much you can do, join the work. And while you wait for things to improve, or for the end of the world, or both, faithfully look after the people you're with, especially those who struggle to look after themselves. Be a neighbour, even to enemies and strangers. Humbly trust God. Ask for help. Seek truth. Stop clinging to safety and security. Don't worry about the future, but keep your eyes on Jesus and trust that Jesus' way leads us all into a better future. And finally, and perhaps wrapping it all, God is with you. The name of God that we are given in the Gospels is Emmanuel. God is with us, always and forever. God is with you and God loves you. The God who is with you is the love that changes everything and that everything else stems from. Loving one another will change the world. And you are able to do it. I am able to do it. Because we are accompanied forever by love itself. Love the presence of God with us.